My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do? What's up?
Headphone issues.
I think I left my headphones in the other room.
Yeah, well, I thought that maybe we were going to get a what it do and no ahoy.
Look at, really?
Yeah.
This is what's in the
show
studio?
Show that on camera, will you?
Is that
on YouTube?
Hold on, let me get a closer
look
at it.
Oh, wait a minute. Ryan Buckley didn't start the YouTube stream
today.
That's not true.
That's not true. It is up and running.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Buckley back.
That's right.
You were catching strays while we were away.
So I hear. I've been told by this exact group that I'm not good at my job.
The YouTubers are intense.
Yeah, they are.
And they do not.
They come with a different edge than the texters.
They definitely do. I think we have worn the texters down to a level of expectation that is reasonable. YouTubers have a case of the Zapostas, I think.
And they're a demanding bunch.
Yeah. Hey, well, that's what I mean.
I'm not great at my job sometimes, and that's I'll admit that.
Did you guys see the... He admitted this is embarrassing. Yeah, what is that?
These are the headphones.
It's not great is what that is.
These are the headphones that are just in the studio, like if we had a guest. I'm going to throw this S away.
Yeah, throw it away.
What?
God.
Seriously, and look...
What if Dan Lanning walks in here? He's like, hey, good to be in studio. Here, put these on, Dan.
You talk with your helmet, but you don't listen with those.
This might have, like, I don't know. This has, like, lice or... I don't know.
It probably does have lice on it.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah, throw that away, will you? What's the matter with you? Come on.
All right, there we go. now let's go. Sports?
You know, way back in, what is it, 2024? This was probably 2010.
Mm-hmm.
The station stopped buying headphones for us.
Yeah, we used to get the nice...
Like those that you have on your head right there?
Yeah.
Those are old school.
These are Sonys. Yeah, we used to supply them, and then I remember once... We were running thin, and the boss came to us and was like, yeah, you might want to.
Yeah, you're on your own.
You might want to invest in those.
I remember when I first started working here, I'm like, oh, so you guys like have equipment for the staff to use? And they're like, oh, no, you're going to have to get your own.
Nice try.
That'd be like Geno Smith lacing him up.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, where's your helmet? And he's like, well, I thought you supplied me one. And the Seahawks are like, no.
You're supposed
to bring your own.
When I did whatever I did in the NFL, which was not play, the official supplier was Reebok and NFL equipment, and you want to talk about like a mutiny. So that's what they would give you. Like that was when you, if you were just me and you showed up, they gave you Reebok cleats. no one, and I mean no one unless you were like a dip ass like me, wore any of that crap. So like you would have to go around and like you'd either buy your own or you would try to barter with the Nike or the Adidas guys. You'd go around and find one of the old linemen like, hey man, you swing me a pair. Cause like for most of those guys that play, they have deals with an actual real athletic company, no offense to Reebok, and they would get so much to spend. And so you would just be like, hey man, just, you know, throw me a couple pairs of cleats. I don't want to wear these. It was like the most embarrassing stuff in the world. And you can't, that's like you come into the station and you just like, we got Reebok headphones. No one wants to wear that. Come on.
Yeah. It'd be nice if we ever had wireless in here, but
no, that's
never going to happen.
That's not happening. No.
With our signal.
I'm not even going to attempt that.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if it's our,
wireless.
You just saw what wired headphones we had and you're over here wanting Bluetooth.
Yeah, I mean, I am. Kinda.
I mean, that would be rad. We should totally get that,
but we don't have that and that we never will.
Nope.
And not in this world.
No, that's a long,
I've also been told that it's insane to even think that could happen considering how hardwired we are.
Sure.
So,
well, it was only
apparently I'm insane.
A few years ago, we said mini disc players, for God's sakes. Just be happy that we're not there anymore.
I have old mini discs at the house.
Yeah.
Some of our finest works are on those mini discs. I don't know how we'll ever play them. But
I have, when I moved back to the Coupe, whatever that was, like 9 years ago, I found an old camcorder that I had, and it has the little tapes, you know, I don't know what.
Those are like VHS tapes.
Yeah,
right?
But they're minis. They're shrunken, and dude, there's like 12 of them in there. I don't know what's on those things, but I know, right?
Be careful.
Like, yeah, be careful. And the only way you can watch them is with the camcorder. I don't have any way to plug that in anywhere else. And someone was like, "Hey, you should take those in, and someone will digitize that for you and put it on a hard drive." And I'm like, "Hey, I don't want to. I don't know. I'm not sure I want to go down those roads. I don't remember what's on any of those." I don't know what was recorded. I'm afraid of like, you know, there might be some grainy, like night cam video. I'm not certain that I want to go down those roads. Some things are better left just keeping the door shut.
Yeah. Your YouTube hater is back. He's already,
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Buck, guy, you caught a lot. That guy was like on
he
a,
is not yeah, happy
no,
with you.
No, he was.
Buck doesn't care, by the way. I can see it in his eyes.
No, he shrugs it right off.
He's like, whatever.
Buck's coming from a luxury wedding in like the Bay Area. Do you think he cares?
He just showed me pictures.
I know.
Did you see the pictures?
Oh, I saw the photos. And can we also talk about this? Go figure. Buck's got a hot sister. Sister Buckley, officially a hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably because it doesn't come from the Buck gene pool. That is a stepsister. Yeah, that's why she's a lot hotter than me and my brother.
Hold on, everybody.
Yeah.
A twist.
Yeah, it was a little like, I'm not saying Buckley's not a handsome man, but it was a little bit like, oh.
Yeah, you're not related to that.
I was like, hey, hot sister. All right.
I also caught out of the, on the side of one of the photos, I caught a rare glimpse of the Bay Area Yeti, Mr. Buckley.
Oh, John Buckley?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever seen John Buckley.
Well, I haven't either. And he looks way more Hell's Angels than you would think.
I love that that's your description.
Really?
Yeah. He looks... Yeah,
well, he is a known felon.
He's a little.
No, he beat that charge.
He's a pirate.
He's a little rough.
Oh, yeah, that he didn't beat.
There is a.
I pictured him a little bit more.
No, see, I didn't. I pictured Rough and Tumble. There's a show on, I think it's on Netflix. It's called The Perfect Couple. Have you seen it?
No.
It's like a White Lotus thing going on. It's real popular right now, and it's with Nicole Kidman and Liv Schreiber.
I've heard about it.
Right? And it's a very, they're the power rich couple, Nantucket. And Liv Schreiber is great in it. And I kind of pictured John Buckley as kind of a Liv Schreiber. A rich, fancy lad, but with like kind of a masculine streak about him. You know, I didn't picture hoity-toity. I pictured kind of a...
Well, I'll find a couple photos like a to Roosevelt give you a better look, because Rob's basing all of this on a profile view.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was thinking more like a Roosevelt sort of thing, like he's kind of a hard ass.
Can I just say, too, that I think he was a little underdressed for his daughter's wedding?
Mm. It was very casual. If you saw, the groom was in sneakers and a short-sleeve white shirt, so...
Interesting.
Yeah, I tell you, the wedding thing now is, it's all getting very unconventional.
Yeah, you can kind of go anywhere you want.
Do whatever the hell because it's your wedding.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do whatever the hell you want. Nobody's going to judge you.
No. Well,
I mean, they will, but
yeah, sure.
Who cares?
Well, I mean, look, we've seen people at the station show up to formal events in cargo shorts. Yeah,
that's right.
It's Portland, for God's sakes.
That's right. Well, this was in San Francisco and snooty.
That is true.
I mean, did you see the lagoon that was their house?
Yeah, it's Look, we're it, the more layers get peeled of the bloomin' onion that is the Buckley family. I'll tell you intense. What, it's not an Outback bloomin' onion. No.
And by the way,
Michelin star.
Am I allowed to say what the new member of the family does?
Yeah. That's not top secret or anything.
Well, he's in the Air Force.
Yeah,
he's kind of a badass.
And he flies cargo planes, and he's going to get a new detail where he's going to fly not Air Force One level of clearance, mm-hmm. but he's going to fly statesmen and statesmen.
Dignitaries, ambassadors,
dignitaries
and such.
Around. Yeah.
He's going to be on the take.
The U.S.
Yeah, he's going to be. There'll be weird things going down.
Isn't that cool?
Guarantee he's tied into some sort of shady doing.
So if Kim Jong-un ever comes to the States.
We got a Buckley flying around?
Isaac tried this earlier with Putin. I said, I don't think he's getting that detail, but maybe.
Hey, wait, you never know.
Does Putin let there's no way Putin lets a U.S. airman fly him around.
No chance.
He brings Igor in.
Space Force.
You know. Yeah, it's some dude named Igor Vladimir, and you know, he flies his own. There's no way. Zero chance that Putin's letting any sort of U.S. military guy get behind the stick there.
Well, guys, it's a big week of radio
and
podcasting and YouTubing.
Whatever else you got going on, twitching.
It is Civil War week and Apple Cup week.
It's the dumbest thing.
Here we are in September.
it's September 9th, and we're like, Civil War week, baby! Hey, I'll give it this, though.
It's weird, isn't it?
If you would have asked me a month ago, I would have told you that the Apple Cup and the Civil War were foregone conclusions. Not anymore. Even the Apple Cup. Washington's looked okay. I mean, actually, Washington's looked real good in their two games.
Haven't seen them.
You haven't seen any of it?
No.
They look fine.
Who have they played?
Nobody. And I mean nobody. Played
Bottom
Weber.
Line, their ass.
They played Weber State and... Eastern.
Now, what is that from?
Okay, so
that's new,
from,
right?
Yes, that's AI Kyle Whittingham.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was really funny.
They have a white running back, for goodness sakes.
Solid.
He was. AI did a thing where they were preparing for Baylor, and they asked him, Baylor kind of sucks. Have they improved? And Kyle Whittingham, AI goes on a rant of, they're terrible.
And at the end, he drops a bottom line,
their ass.
Which is phenomenal. Yeah, they played Weber State and Eastern Michigan. 35-3, 39.
Well, wake me up when they play somebody.
Well, this week they got the Cougs, and the Cougs are 2-0. They just got done taking care of business at Texas Tech. And I've watched both of the Beaver games, and I'm trying to the best way to
Do
describe
we need to get into this right now?
Well, no. I mean, we don't have to.
I mean, we can.
How about this?
Yeah.
Both of those games, way more compelling. My bottom line.
Bottom line.
Way more compelling than I would have thought a few weeks ago.
Bottom
How about
line,
that?
It's not ass.
Yes. Could be.
Bottom line,
but we don't
ass.
Think so.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week.
Yeah.
But it's weird.
Well, and we got the NFL back, and, you know, I don't even know
Wait,
where.
Wait, the NFL was back?
I don't even know where you start there. I mean, I there is 1,000 stories that we could talk about in the NFL. Don't get me going. I was watching film
this
morning.
Well, I am going to get you going.
That's I was watching film this morning, for God's sakes.
That's my whole job. That's
film true. Of who? NFL or college?
Oh, NFL.
Man.
Well, anyway.
I watched some of the... I went back and rewatched some of the Duck stuff. I'm having a hard time processing what I'm seeing. But it was today was an NFL day. This morning was an NFL sort of day. And you know me. I'm a big believer of the NFL exists in four game sets. There's four quarters. Now it's a little weird because there's an overtime with 17 weeks, but there's everyone in the NFL views everything. There's four quarters. There's four games to a quarter. So make no sweeping judgments until at least four games. There's two that you can make sweeping judgments on.
Well, one is Deshaun Watson. Am I wrong?
I cannot process what is happening there.
Yeah, it's just, really hard.
I've never seen anything like it.
That was the worst. I honestly think, and I've watched Ben DiNucci, I've watched...
the DiNucci!
I mean...
Tommy Cutlets.
And, yeah, I've watched Nathan Peterman. That might have been the worst quarterbacked game I've ever seen in my life. On one side, Deshaun Watson.
It is to the point now in Cleveland.
Ever.
Where, and I know there's some O-line problems there, it's not great, but with that roster, and here's the thing, it's a proven commodity, because with lesser quarterbacks, Joe Flacco... Brissett, they've won. Baker Mayfield, like, that is a good coach. That is a proven play caller. It's a good roster. It's the number one defense in the NFL last year. I don't know how you keep rolling Deshaun Watson out there. Eventually, it gets to the point where it becomes criminal to put a player that poor with a roster that is a proven winning roster. It's the damnedest thing. And by the way, you gave him $200 million plus of guaranteed money. You can't get rid of him.
Well, they still have 3 years, $180 million on that deal or something like that. Or maybe it's four, 180.
It's absurd. When you look at the numbers to get rid of him, it's almost impossible to get rid of him in 2 years.
No, we can't get into this right meow, but it's in the notes. I mean, it's a good thing we have a bunch of Seggies.
Yes.
We got a full week of radio broadcasts. So we'll get to all of this in due time.
Yeah.
But something came out today where Deshaun Watson is being sued again.
Dude, it wouldn't shock me if Cleveland tries to do some sort of violation. Like,
and this could mean that they get out of paying him this
the
nasty,
worst deal in NFL history.
It could mean that because the details are pretty nasty.
If you want a conspiracy theory, then
the Browns did.
I love this.
The Browns,
paid her a bunch of money.
The Browns cooked this up, and we're like, dude, we will pay you, and we were paying. Think about whatever money it costs to railroad someone,
inside
it is worth
job.
It if you're Cleveland at this point, because it is an unmitigated disaster.
That's pretty smart if they get away with it.
I've never
unethical but smart.
Never seen anything quite
it's
like
plausible.
It is plausible.
That All and right. you know, Daniel Jones and
well, guys,
did you see the jump pass?
We gotta start with the Oregon. I'm ignoring you. You cannot stop.
Did you see the Bryce Young jump pass?
No, I actually didn't see any of that game.
Never seen it. Never
I saw a great tweet about Bryce Young. It said you can tell he still is improving because he threw his first interception of the game on the first pass, but in the second half, it took him two passes to get his interception.
I do not know if I've ever seen a quarterback
getting better
not be able to see over the line. So his solution is to jump and then throw the ball over the line.
Tim Tebow.
Never.
Bottom line, their ass.
All right. So we got to start with the Oregon Ducks. Yes. Did you guys see that they almost lost again?
I did. Probably should have lost
what
this one.
What the hell?
Yeah, this was not. This
Let's
was not
dig
good.
Into it. Coming up next on The Fan. Hope everybody had a nice little weekend. Let's get into it. Poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Friday we asked you, if not KC, who wins the Super Bowl? 35% of you said the Niners. 31% said other. 29% Lions. And only 5% Ravens.
Well, tonight we get a look at our San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
That'd be a good one. I mean, I'm pumped up. It was a great weekend in the NFL. Even the bad games were interesting for the most part, with the exception of like three.
I did not think that.
No?
And we will talk about that later.
Okay. You didn't like the week?
Well, there was certainly, like it was, the NFL is always compelling.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean it's the best football.
Oh, it was terrible football. But
yeah, and that got to me. Like, I just thought the quarterback play in particular.
It was bad.
Check down Sandy, everything underneath. Like, it was uninteresting to me for the first time in a long time, and we'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah.
But because I'm actually more getting tight sports pants for college now.
Okay.
Because of the way that they've changed the format, and it's kind of made it a little more interesting, brought some more teams
you
in.
You are
it.
Right, especially early on with the lack of preseason and everything. The offensive play was,
it's
but scoring
rough.
Was up. I mean, scoring was high, but there was
there are
bad
no
offense.
Explosive plays. It's just
this is the new shell too high look and make you, you know, 6 yards at a time down the field.
So poll question today pertains to the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Boise State 37-34 in a wild game on Saturday night.
Great game.
And the poll question is, it's up there for you. It's pinned to the top of our X account at 1080 The Fan. Vote hard. Was it a good win? Hell yes or no.
Yeah. No.
And right now 76% say no.
No. I mean, look, you're 2 weeks into this, and again, I don't make any sort of sweeping statements unless it's Deshaun Watson of the Carolina Panthers early on. Like even Michigan getting drubbed by Texas. I mean, certainly looks like Michigan is not a top team. But it's a long way to go. I mean, we've seen teams evolve, and especially in this playoff, you don't have to be perfect anymore. But you cannot say in any shape or form that if you took out the preseason rankings and we just looked at it, but even when we said, hey, from a talent standpoint, right, we know Oregon's really talented. Arguably, it's the most talented team they've ever had. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that you've seen so far that leads you to believe that Oregon is a top 10 team. Honestly, it looks more like a top 25 team. somewhere 17 to 25. A lot of potential there. Again, a lot of raw talent. And that's all that won this game against Boise State. Look, a lot of times in college, special teams is just that who has better players. And Oregon just has better athletes. And when you kick the ball off like that and you're in coverage teams and it's Boise State's backups against Oregon's backups and then the returners, Oregon just has more juice. I mean, that you watch either one of those returns, they're not necessarily great returns. These guys just have wheels, and they're just better athletes. And without those two plays of, quote, better athletes, when you get into the backups, Oregon loses that game. And maybe Oregon loses that game going away. So you struggle against Idaho, and it doesn't look pretty in any shape or form. And then you go against Boise, and, you know, you shoot yourself in the foot. You let Boise, you know, for a while be the better team, and then you let Boise regain momentum when it feels like you finally have taken control of the game, and you find yourself scrambling, having to make special teams play. So there's nothing about this team right now that says that it's a college playoff team, that it's an elite team. Doesn't mean it can't get there, because we know there's raw talent. But right now, this is not, I'm not going to say it's not a good team. It's not an elite team. It's not even a very good team. It's a solid top 25 team.
Well, special teams certainly bailed them out.
Yes.
But as you know, I mean, the one positive way you could look at what you just said is, you know, top recruits help you win when you don't have your best.
Yes.
And that's really what it is. Like, yeah, if you have a couple of extra difference makers, they can bail you out.
Yep.
And that's kind of what's happened. They don't look great. Here are some numbers. And then you can tell me how concerning any of these or all of these are. But the Ducks have, in two games, and again, 2-0, survive in advance.
Exactly.
This
better than being 1-1 or 0-2.
Well, but this new format, you know, it's, you just, style points aren't quite as important.
Yeah.
Just win the damn games.
Yep.
And get back to work. And so they have given up more sacks through two games than all of last season, which is alarming.
Very problematic.
They've given up 7.
Yep.
And last season they only gave up 5.
Yep.
They are averaging 3 yards per carry.
Now, that is a little skewed because in college they do negative, the sacks totals go against it. So, like, look, I'm not saying the run game has looked great, but if you take away the sack stuff, Jordan James averaged 6 yards a carry. I think Whittington was 3.5. So there were a lot of bright spots in this run game. It's just that when you throw in the atrocious sack numbers, you know, then all of a sudden it takes it back significantly.
So that's 97th in the country.
Yeah, it's not good.
So it turns out Jackson Powers Johnson was kind of a big deal.
Yes.
They are number 124 in opponents' rush yards per attempt. Mm-hmm. Now, again, could be skewed because you guys were not kidding about that Ashton Gentry guy.
Really good. And
Jesus, he's nasty.
He's nasty. And you know, for stretches, Oregon looked good. It's just when, you know, you pop a 70-yarder, again, that kills the average. So, you know, of those, which one am I more concerned about? I'm more concerned about the offensive play than the defensive play, but I'm certainly not, it's not great.
I'm not done.
Yeah.
They are 115th in turnover margin.
Yeah.
And they are 109th in penalties.
That's so. If you had to say the two things that concerned me the most, the interior offensive line, and you know what? Last week I gave the tackles a break. I don't think you can give the tackles a break because they're not playing great either. They're just not. We can talk about it because the new offensive line, when they were shifting some guys, it created a lot of stability. And I don't mean to, again, I don't like to pick on college kids, but, and I know he's local, but 70 Pickard, he can't be in. It just, he kills the offense. You just, he's just not at right now. He is not a Big Ten offensive lineman. He has to be out. So you shift your right guard to center, left guard to right guard, and then you bring in the new one, Strother or Bedford whenever he comes back, but that needs to be the line going forward.
Isn't he back this week, didn't they say?
We think.
The
right?
Indiana kid?
Yeah, and that's Bedford.
They thought he was going to maybe be available this last week,
yeah,
and then he wasn't. So
And Lanning even said, you know, talking about some opportunity for some other people to play. Look, the O-line's on blast at this point. And when they made the shift, and again, you moved right guard to center, left guard to right, insert new left guard. It got significantly better, and you saw them really kind of start taking control of that game, and then what did they do? They shot themselves in the foot with turnovers. And the penalties are just, they're ridiculous. And not being able to pick up simple blitzes. I mean, some of the stuff that Boise State was doing was just bringing outside rushers from the secondary. Some of that is on the O-line. I mean, there was one play where the left guard and tackle, who again, you know, your left tackle is the guy that you're supposed to be leaning on. I mean, Josh Connolly or Connolly is a guy that's supposed to be a big time player, just never came off of him. And then there was another time where Dylan Gabriel's just staring at a guy coming from the secondary. And again, without knowing the protection because the back went left and the guy came from the right, but Gabriel's looking at him. You got to get rid of the ball. So some of this is on Gabriel as well. I don't think whoever is in charge of sliding their protections, and again, maybe this goes back to the center, maybe this is on a quarterback without being in the huddle, I can't exactly tell you what, but they're doing a very poor job of recognizing pressure looks. The offensive line is doing a very, very poor job of passing stunts and games off to one another. There's no continuity on that line. And then in the run game, especially in that interior three, there's no push. So there were signs when they went to the, quote, new offensive line in the second half there, and that has to be the line going forward. And you hope that going forward, that and the return of Bedford, who you thought was going to be one of your starting guards, you hope that that solidifies it and that gets the run game going, and then you get the play action going a little bit, and then Gabriel's able to calm down and feel a little more confident to stand in the pocket. Because what we saw finally against Idaho was some big plays. There are big plays to be had because you've got dudes on the outside.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
It's like it's almost sad when you think about the level of weaponry that they have.
Yeah.
And to not be able to maximize that,
yeah,
it makes you sports sad.
And once you get into a consistent flow of running the ball, and this is the just stunning part to me, is against Idaho, you could not get them to get out of that stupid two safety look. You would think with the way Oregon should be able to run the ball that you are going to get one-on-one matchups. And if you get one-on-one matchups with their receivers, they are going to cook some people.
Yeah.
So that's yeah, if you want some like positive vibes going ahead, you saw some steps going in the right direction, but You can't be having that game against Boise State.
Well, that's the frustrating part, is that I think on both sides of the ball, you go wow sometimes.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
This team has the potential to be really, really good. I think you see that on defense. You certainly saw it on special teams, and you see it on the outside and sometimes with their backs.
Yeah.
And with Gabriel.
Yep.
But you just don't see it on the offensive line. Nope. And that's what makes it so frustrating, is you do see why they were ranked in the top five, but then you have the penalties and turnovers on top of that, which we will get to when we get back. Yeah. Well, I want to break because they yell at me all the time.
You gotta be on time.
Jason, they pull me into meetings.
Gotta be on time.
And they're like, shut him up.
Well, you're on television, gentlemen, and that matters too.
I know. Well,
that's fuck, what I'm, you that's shut what I mean. Up now.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, you shut up. okay. Everybody shut up.
Sorry.
We're gonna be back.
Shut up.
And we're gonna talk about it. we're gonna talk about it more next. Here's Buck.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we're talking about the Ducks. 37-34 over Boise State. 2-0. Your boy here trying to be positive.
Hey, 2-0 is 2-0. It's not a great 2-0.
No.
But they keep dropping in the rankings, and because again...
They're down to number 9.
Well, anyone that watched... Look, they should be forcing... They are not the 9th best team in the country. Had they been playing either one of these games, had they played a top 15 team, they would be 0-2. They're not very good right now.
Isn't this a great lesson in preseason prognostications and everything are so dumb? This is why I always say this.
Yeah.
Like, we just know nothing until the game starts. No. So why do we even... Why do we even bother? At any rate, that's neither here nor there. I would say, though, again, I'm trying to be positive. Yeah. Alabama struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame lost.
Yep.
Penn State struggled.
Yep.
Oregon.
A lot of teams looked funky this
Kansas
weekend.
State struggled. Oklahoma was in a dogfight against Houston. So, you're not alone. It's just that the way it looks is really concerning moving forward. And, I mean, I don't know, when's that? How many games do they have before Ohio State?
I think Ohio State's the 6th game, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's a bye in there after the Beavs. Let me pull up their schedule.
Yeah, give me the schedule.
So you got the Beavs.
Yeah, and which won't be easy.
No, look, I I've watched Oregon State play. I still don't know what to make Oregon State. First half against Idaho State was a little and then you just ran the ball all over in the second half. This one against San Diego State. San Diego State's offense is dreadful. The Beavs defense played really well. Offense was, but again, 21-0. You shut them out. So, I don't know what to fully make of the Beavs, but I'll tell you right now, Oregon State's got a chance in this game. Oregon ain't blowing anyone out right now.
Of course. I mean, if you almost lose to Idaho,
yeah.
I mean, it would stand to reason that pissed off Oregon State
absolutely
with something to prove back at home, who has beaten you. Well, they didn't beat you last year, beat you the year before.
And their hair's going to be on fire, and they're playing good defense right now. So
Oregon's got to be a lot better. But who's after Oregon State?
So they got a bye, and then they get UCLA, who stinks.
Yep.
And you got Michigan State. By the way, Sparty 2-0.
Where's that game? That's at Autzen.
I think. Where is that? Yeah, that's Autzen. So, yeah, old Jonathan Smith, who everyone, criminally underrated. So you got Sparty 2-0. So
nothing seems easy.
And then you get Ohio State.
Okay, so nothing seems easy right now, but they can win these next 3 games.
Yes.
By just, by doing what they've done these last 2 weeks.
And being more talented.
And that's and gut it out. I mean, look, I was thinking in the second half of the Boise State game, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, dude, this is a battle. This is a dogfight. Oh my God, this Genty guy. Ducks, they're not playing well. They're turning it over. Yeah. What else could go wrong? And the fact that they won, again, I know this isn't going to help a lot of people because a lot of people just think they should be way better than they are, and they're not wrong.
Yeah.
That said, perhaps an identity is forming. You're sitting there in the second half, you're going, God, here they are in a battle again. Not all good teams blow everyone out. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get dragged into deep water, there is something about character and resiliency and just freaking nutting up and guys making plays. And they did that. I kept thinking about, like, it's a bad comparison, but I kept thinking about the Chiefs, you know, and how they sometimes win games or play with their food. And you're not always going to play great, and it's not always going to look that great. Yeah. But I think it's important, if they're going to go anywhere, it's important to still be able to pull those games out. Now, the Idaho one, you had zero business losing, and I mean zero. Like, zero. Yeah. You cannot lose that game, period. But this one, Boise... Yeah, dude, you played so poorly. Well, what I'm saying is you played so poorly that you should have lost, but you didn't. And that, I think, is a good thing. Again, I'm trying to be positive. I think that is a good thing about perhaps an identity forming. That is good because you don't want a team cruising through the entire sea. Everybody thinks it's just this straight ascension to the top, and it's just not. Yeah. You're going to get friction, and it's how do you handle that friction? You're not going to play your best, and you need to do stupid things like drop the ball before the damn goal line.
By the way, I don't remember off the top of my head who recovered that, but dude.
Jaden Lamar. MVP of that game, maybe.
Exactly.
But wait, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
And I will be asking Dan Lanning how on earth that happens. I mean, I really cannot.
It's one of the things I can't fathom in college football or in any football. Fathom.
It happens way more than
I mean, all well, the way back to Deshaun Jackson, I don't get the appeal of dropping the ball right across the goal line. Like, what is that?
Every single time it happens.
Ducks have been on the good and the bad end of that.
Every single time.
Utah did it, right?
At Utah, Kalen Clay dropped one on the goal line. Byron Marshall did it in the national championship game nearly. Against Ohio State.
Every single time it happens, we come on here and go, how on earth does this happen?
Yep.
And yet it keeps happening. And so I'm blown away how a guy can do that. And my question about the kid who picked it up, did he just pick it up because it was just right there?
I think it was a heads-up play. I think he was running behind, and I think he knew.
I think he had at least an idea. Because what happens, too, is if you went back and look at it, the official does not signal touchdown.
Right.
So
when the broadcast did a really bad job at telling us what was happening. Yes. They clarified later it was ruled a touchdown for Lamar and not for
Whittington. The official, I think, knew. The official kind of, when I was looking at it, and they won't say anything. He just kind of sits there, and it's this weird, like,
Let's see what happens.
Because remember, if no one touches it, then it's a touchback. You have to have an immediate recovery. And so I think someone either yelled at him or he just was running behind the play and was like, hey, I'm not certain. I don't see anyone.
Better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry. And he picked that thing up. That is a game-saving play.
Yeah, somebody brought up Washington last year. And that's right. You know, when Penix was a little banged up and they got into some weird games.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I'm going to push back on a little bit. Because everything you're saying has an element of truth to it. And you're right. You want to be battle tested. You want to find a way to pull it out. Against Idaho, there was not a single player on Idaho's team that would start at Oregon. The coach's kid, the linebacker, he was pretty good. I still don't think he plays, but he doesn't start at Oregon. Boise State had two. There's two players on Boise State's team that would start for you. Two. You had a quarterback at Boise State. Dude, that guy. I mean, I know he's a gritty kid. That kid is not any good. You don't have a single receiver that would even touch the field in Oregon. No separation. Their passing game was non-existent, right? You could stack the box against them. You had no fear of them getting behind you. I mean, their DBs just got blown by your receivers. Two players in two games would start for you. Three would probably play any significant amount of time. And you have needed last second heroics to bail you out of those. So I understand when you're in the NFL, or I understand when you're Washington, you're playing conference games and maybe Arizona, like Washington last year needed, you know, to kind of pull it out against Arizona. I'm sorry. Arizona has the number one receiver in the country. They had Noah Fifita, Jonah Coleman. They're dudes on that. I'm sorry, there are not dudes at Idaho and Boise State outside of...
Well, there was one.
Well, and the defensive end that they had, the 91, the Egyptian guy, that dude, the
Egyptian guy.
Well, the four white guys and the Egyptian.
We tried everything. We played four white guys and an Egyptian.
Dude, that kid can play.
We tried everything.
That kid's good.
Well, Genty was amazing.
And Genty's amazing. He was probably the best player on the field. But
he was.
Like, to me, there is a difference between grinding it out in conference games at the end of the year or in the middle of the season when you're kind of going through the dog days. You have athletically been superior at every spot against these two teams, and you are lucky to at least not be 1-1. And that to me is problematic. And someone better figure things out pretty soon, because I'm not saying Oregon State is great. I'm not saying Michigan State is great. But if you're playing better teams, top 25 teams, not top five, top 25, you're 0-2 right now. And that team is too talented, because you see it. There are absolute physical beasts all up and down that roster. And you see glimpses of it. You do. And there's NFL guys at almost every level, and you should not be squeaking out games against the Idaho All-Stars. You shouldn't.
Well, of course you shouldn't. And sometimes it happens.
And dropping the ball in the end zone and holding penalties and just...
I mean, they can't do that again.
No.
Because that's what I was getting at with Ohio State. You get to Ohio State, you're going to get bludgeoned if you play like this. So, but the thing is they know that. They see it. There isn't anybody around here that isn't. Doesn't have a sense of urgency about it.
And believe, inside that locker room, they know it too.
And Dan Lanning even said it. Yep. He said it after the game. He goes, look, we were lucky. Yep. We were fortunate. I feel fortunate.
Two special teams touchdowns, that does not happen.
That's right.
And without both of those, you lose that game.
But it you know, all I'm saying is it possibly could be the worst they'll play all season.
Yeah. And to Boise State, what the hell are you doing kicking the ball to those guys? Like, no offense, but when you look at your two deep and you see a bunch of dudes... no offense, that look like they're playing at Central Catholic. Don't kick the ball. Don't kick the ball to the Oregon returners. I mean, someone over there should
look
be fired.
Central Catholic catching strays today. Joey's not going to be happy with you.
You should not. Like, even after the first one. Hey, how about this, guys? We're not kicking into them anymore.
What?
And then they kicked it to him again. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Their special teams coach should be fired.
All right. Up next, we'll wrap up the weekend that was for Oregon, and then we'll get into some more college football stuff with our college football caribou. I've got hot Kansas takes.
All right, yeah, didn't
they lost? But there was something from that game. I mean, nobody cares about Kansas, but I'm there was something in that game that I want to ask you about. Yeah. I don't know if you watch it. Did you watch it at all?
No, I was busy watching my Hawkeyes because they gapped it at the end too.
That was a good game.
I thought it was over,
but there was a rule that came up in the Kansas game that I can't say that I was aware of, right. And I think it's stupid.
Let's talk about it.
And we will, damn it. It is Isaac and Suk on the Fam. All right, wrapping up our hot Ducks hour here. Look, it's an uneasy feeling for sure for Duck fans.
Yeah.
But how do we feel about Boo Birds this early in the season? I mean, they were getting booed loudly after it was the one series where they were backed up.
Yeah, and they just
kind of
capitulated and were like, hey, we're kicking this ball.
Yeah.
So
the fans didn't like that.
They didn't like it. They didn't like it.
How do we feel about that?
Look, I've always supported a fan's right to boo. I mean, you pay your ticket, you cheer. I think it's a bit premature at that point in the game and a point in the season to boo. I certainly wouldn't do it, but again, I'm not one of these type that's going to tell fans, you know, how to feel. I certainly get the frustration, and some of this is, I'm not going to say it's on Oregon, but look, man, when you're the most talked about program in the offseason, when your head coach is out and is a media darling, is on, and, you know, Pat McAfee and dude, Yogi Roth, I think Yogi Roth might be in love with Oregon and Dan Lanning. I mean, it's unbelievable. And Joel Klatt's that way too. And, you know, you have all this and you build it up. It's like we talk about this sometimes with the Blazers when they do this with rookies. When Scoot comes in and has a kind of a, you know, look, he didn't have a great rookie year, right? And that's one thing, because rookies struggle. But when you tell us that he's a different rookie that's not going to struggle with the NBA and he's a generational prospect. And then we see it with our own two eyes and we're like, well, that's not very good. Then how can you be mad at fans for being like, dude, this isn't what we were told. So whether that's on media, but certainly Oregon bought into it. You got a team out west and you're doing your own docuseries and you're sending a duck up the damn river at Indianapolis. And you know, you're sending the duck to crash other Big Ten stuff. I mean, you announced your presence with authority. You went Nuke LaLouche. And dude, the first two games, you hit the damn mascot with the ball. So should you boo? No. Do I understand why fans are booing? Yeah, I do. So, you know, this comes with it. We talked about this year. In the years past, Oregon has kind of been, again, the team out west. Oh, we're just, you know, we're kind of the upstart team and we do things differently. And you've kind of been the cool alternate brand to the stuffy traditional powers. Well, you're no longer that cool upstart brand. Now you're one of the bullies. Now you're Georgia. Now you're Ohio State. You're viewed that same way. And when you get viewed that way, there's expectations. If you don't think Alabama will boo after a couple of ugly series, go down to Tuscaloosa sometimes. Those fans have expectations. And, you know, maybe that's kind of where Oregon is living now. So if you don't want to get booed, I play better.
Yeah, agree with that.
But, you know, as a fan, you know, come on.
Well, and in that instance, it was kind of a weird spot to really boo hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I get the smattering of boos. Yeah. That was a pretty loud boo.
Pretty loud boo.
And in that instance, we all knew what they were doing. Yes. They were just going to punt.
Yeah.
They were pinned, and yep. They just were like...
Like, hey, we're not going to shoot ourselves in the foot here. You know, we're confident. I think Oregon, maybe the game didn't play out this way, but when you are physically superior, and believe me, Oregon knows that they are physically superior at almost every position. The longer that game goes, the more it benefits you. Right? And so you're like, hey, let's not do anything dumb here. Let's not do anything stupid and try to force something on third and long. Kick the ball away, let our defense play, and we'll be fine. I mean, that happens all the time. It's just that when there's the struggles, then, of course, the fans, everyone on third and 12 wants, throw it down the middle for 17 yards.
We're getting a lot of that today.
Yeah, you've got Evan Stewart. Just run a fly route.
Yeah, why don't they just throw it deep? It's like that question. Who is the...
Run the touchdown play, damn it.
James Franklin.
Yeah, the James Franklin thing.
Have you ever thought about just throwing the ball deep?
No. No. Strong no.
You know.
That's why coaches get frustrated.
Yes.
Because some of these narratives from fans, it's like, dude...
You're making me uncomfortable.
Heads up, on any... Most NFL games, when it's third and double digits, a lot of draw plays, a lot of screen passes,
yeah.
A lot of underneath stuff. And if you break one, you break one. If not, you tell them all the time, don't do anything dumb. Because when you have teams that know what they're doing, they don't give up big plays. They keep stuff underneath. And a lot of times you can end up with bad situations. Or how about this one? When your offensive line is struggling to protect and it's third and 12 or whatever it is, and you know they're going to heat you up, you know, you might not want to face another, you know, another blitz that you're not confident you can pick up. Sometimes it's just smart to punt and live to fight another day. So, yeah, for that time to boo, that's just fans being kind of, I'm not going to say ignorant, but yeah, a little ignorant.
You know, somebody brought up something on the text line. The Vancouver Ford text line can be reached at 503-864-6326. I'm going to put this down to talk about, because we'll have time this week, but they were talking about how early in the season there's a different kind of fan in the stadium at Autzen because there's a lot of secondary market.
Yeah, note the kids buyers, aren't back yet, right?
And it's just kind of different this time of year as opposed to later in the season. I don't know if that's true, but...
I had some friends who were season ticket holders say that the first couple games have felt more that way. A little bit less collegiate,
people that don't normally go to the games.
Oh. Yeah.
And they can get tickets to the Idaho or Boise ticket. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I can see that. So maybe they get a little more...
Interesting thought.
Yeah.
Maybe they get a little more booey.
Yeah. A little more, hey, it's my first game in 3 years. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
I can
What's
see that.
What's this crap? Punts? Yeah. Punts?
Hey, welcome to Iowa. I should have worn my punts sweatshirt.
All right.
By the way,
bottom line, their ass.
Punting is not the worst thing.
Punts? Yeah, ask the Bengals.
God, don't even get me started on that.
Well, the Bengals guy had an 80-yard punt. That's why I say that.
But Cincinnati's offense, again. What is with them in the first like 2 weeks?
Well,
of the
I think
season?
It's Joe Burrow's hair.
Yeah, Slim Shady. Yeah. But that's Joe Burrow game one, like every year.
Yeah. All right. Bad rule alert in our college football caribou before we get to our stock watch. Coming up next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.